Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You can find Chuck Anderson's Vintage Conversations with all sorts of notable South Dakotans on our website. Head to sdpb.org/images-of-the-past. Look for the personalities with Chuck Anderson links on the right side of the page, but you don't have to go there just yet because first you can hear Chuck Anderson live with us on the phone from Huron, South Dakota. Chuck, welcome.
Lori, how are you?
I am doing well. And yourself?
Well, I'm suffering from a little bit of the germs that are in the air, but otherwise, I'm a trooper, and I'm going to make it.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate that. Let's talk. There's a couple folks on the docket here today, and the first one is Gloria McCoy, and she's a country gospel singer and songwriter. She's still alive. She's living in the Midwest still. Tell me when you interviewed her, what part of her career?
I saw Gloria kind of at the beginning of her career, Lori. It was in August of 1993, and she had been doing small venues and those kind of things that get you a lot of stage experience. But at that time, she had a chance to appear at the South Dakota State Fair, and things just boomeranged for her from that point on. And gosh, she was such a wonderful singer. And most of all, I think that the veterans will remember her name, and hopefully we'll have a chance to listen to her on our program coming up. She performed for probably about every military unit going overseas or coming home or high school graduations, whatever it was. Gloria would be there and pro bono. But I was happy to be there at the beginning of her career. And fortunately for Rebecca, I didn't know what happened to her. All I know was I had interviewed her in August of 1993. She had a great voice, and I know she went on to do great things. But Rebecca, looking at the monitor on the computer, she updated us on that.
Yeah, Rebecca is a SDPB intern who put this little package together online, and it says Gloria now lives in Topeka, Kansas with her new husband and longtime friend, Roger Lucas. She's got 4 grown children. And let's go back to the beginning of Gloria, though. We've got a clip here, and this is her talking with Chuck Anderson about the first time she recorded, her first recording experience in Omaha, Nebraska.
I had a chance when you gave me your cassette to play the whole thing through, and you had it recorded down in Omaha. Tell us about that. I bet that was a lot of fun.
Oh, man, I wish I could record like for a living constantly.
Well, maybe you can.
Well, yeah, more and more. I plan to do another recording, and I've got some ideas for some later on. But no, how I even came to get to Omaha in the first place is my best friend, Terry Jorgensen. She lives in Omaha and works there and met this guy. I don't know. She's just one of these special people that just knows everybody, okay? So she says, hey, I met this guy, blah, 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 blah. And the next thing I know, they're calling me up and say, hey, we got a deal for you. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. So I know what it's like to, you know, at that time I knew what it was like to have these songs, and in the back of my mind thinking, well, maybe someday I'll do this, and well, I don't know, it costs a lot of money, and all this kind of stuff. And I just went ahead and did it. It was a big step, and I was kind of nervous. But Johnny Ray Gomez is the producer on the tape, and he's also the producer for The Platters, so he's really very talented.
You bet.
Yeah, and another guy, Mike Holland, at that time was working with him, and they put it together. But I liked it because they allowed me a lot of freedom to give my ideas, and they gave their ideas, but I had the final word, and I liked that.
This was all done in Omaha?
All done in Omaha.
Did you use a pickup band?
No. What I did was I no. Wrong again, Chuck. What I did was I gave them what we in the business call a scratch tape.
Okay.
Which I didn't know that until I started doing this, but I'm a seasoned veteran now. I've done one album, so I know everything.
A cassette tape. You were listening to her cassette. That sort of dates everything, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does.
I love it.
It was so funny. In the interview, I'll bet I was wrong 10 times in a row. I just thought it was so funny. How could I be wrong so many times? I had, you know, you do your pre-program prepping. And I had it all down in my ink, and I just simply couldn't read it right.
So she had a good time with it. This whole interview, you guys are having just so much fun.
Yes, it was. Here.
Including, we've got another clip here, and this is about where you ask her about remembering her lyrics. And take a listen.
Being a hometown boy, Joe, how did the crowd warm up to you after the very first number, which I understand was a real pleaser? There's no business like show business. How did they receive you and your wife?
Oh, you know, I wasn't prepared, I guess, for the amount of applause that they had. I mean, it was just because we had kind of created this program that was sort of seamless, you know. And it went from one number to the next, to the next, to the next. And then after this number, you know, we had it staged so that we'd take a quick bow and then she'd go off stage, right? Well, and then I'd start the next number. Well, they kept on applauding and applauding and applauding. I thought, this is going to last 2 hours if we let this go on.
We weren't going to stop it, though, mind you.
You didn't mind the applause at all?
No. Once the hands start going, you don't stop them. No.
All right, Chuck, I jumped ahead on you there because that was Joe, how do you say his last name?
Mahold.
Mahold, that was Joe Mahold. There's two posts up right now, one is Gloria and one is Joe. Tell us a little bit about who Joe is, since we just heard how delighted everybody was when he came home to Huron.
Oh, Joe Mahold. The whole Mahold family is so talented, Gloria, that it makes me just sick. I never got any of that kind of talent. Joe is quite well known in South Dakota as a vocalist, took many superiors. Him and his friends won the South Dakota State All-State Barbershop Quartet music. And from there, he went to New York, and people say he looks like Robert Goulet, and he really does, and he sounds like him. He had the chance to work with Stacy Keach and many famous stars early in his career, and he says this is what really got him going. Joe Mahold, very talented man.
All right, you can see both those interviews on the website. And, you know, Chuck, I'm listening to a little country, a little Broadway with Joe, and then I realized that you have a little bit of music background yourself, and I didn't think I knew that before. So tell us sort of how you ended up getting your first high school gig as a drummer. Because that's just interesting stuff.
I was very fortunate. When I was in the summer of the sixth grade going into seventh grade, Jack Mann, the high school drummer, great drummer for here in high school dance band, he graduated. And lo and behold, you know, people don't plan ahead. They had no drummer to replace him. And I was a trumpet / violin player up to that point. But they advertised an opening. They said if anybody would like to audition and learn how to play the drums, you would be mentoring under a very famous Midwestern drummer, Bill Weir. Hmm. And I got the audition. I worked with Bill the whole summer. And just like, you know, all of the people we've had on the show, they always say they're 7-year successes, you know. They all work really hard. I spent every day on the drum set here in college auditorium where Bill Weir had his own drum set up. And I worked every day. And lo and behold, when the seventh grade started and they picked the high school dance band, I was the little seventh grade kid on the drums. And from that point on, Laura, it boomeranged. And it happened to be that there was a shortage of drummers due to the Second World War and the Korean War starting with the draft, and you couldn't get a drummer. And fortunately for this eighth grade kid, I was being asked by the Musicians Union out of Sioux Falls if I could fill in for various bands that were coming through. And wow, what an opportunity.
And then you joined the Marines, though. So another drummer goes overseas.
Yes, that's
so
right.
How did that affect your music career, Chuck, then, the Marine Corps?
You know, if I wouldn't have had that background, I would have never gotten into Armed Forces Radio and Television. They had an opening. Fortunately for me, I hate flying. And you know where they put me in the Marine Corps? In the air wing. I was a radio operator in one of these dumb old planes that always crash all the time. And I told my buddy, I says, I'll do anything if I can just get out of that airplane. And lo and behold, there was an announcement on Far East Network that said that they had an opening in the American Forces Korea Network for a radio announcer, and anyone that would like to audition for it could apply. And it's an Army installation, which is funny because they were on a Marine Corps base.
Right.
So to get it, I would have to go TAD, which we all know means that we're loaned to another military outfit. Yeah. And I went up there, Lori, and shaking, and I had the script in my hand, and they pointed it to me through the glass, and they said, "You're on." And it went really well. I think the Lord was with me at that particular point. He gave me this great voice and this great ability to read, and I got the job right there.
Wow. A little temporary assigned duty, and you're on the radio. What did you, you know, what was your broadcasting career like then for?
Well, it's varied. It was really funny. If I wouldn't have had the background in dance band and my musical career with the orchestras that I had played with, the various real orchestras, string and stuff like that, I would have never gotten the job in the first place. So with my background, they thought, well, we'll put him on the air at 9 o'clock with the 1460 Club and give him his own little show for an hour, and then we'll call him back at 1 o'clock for Hillbilly Hayride because, you know, after all, he is from South Dakota. I didn't really know anything about country. Well, it wasn't called country western. It was just called western. And then right after that, I went in at 2 o'clock with Concert Hall of the Air. And what a variety, from introducing myself at 1 o'clock as your saddle-hopping buddy from South Dakota Marine Corporal Chuck Anderson to at 2 o'clock, "Good afternoon. Welcome to Concert Hall of the Air."
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that funny?
What do you think? Did you ever get any feedback from listeners at that time? You know, who were you talking to, and did they appreciate what you were doing?
I didn't realize how big of an audience that we were playing to.
Right.
And in fact, right now as we're speaking, it's hard for me to realize that we're reaching Rapid City and all the whole part of South Dakota. At that point, I didn't realize that we were reaching all the way across the Pacific Ocean from Korea. All that, we got fan mail from Australia and New Zealand, and a lot of times that the ships at sea, the guys would give us a call and says, "We're listening. Can you play such and such?"
Can
it
you
was
imagine?
A thrill, I'll tell you.
So what years was this that you were on the air for the military?
56 through 57.
Wow.
And the one thing, they still keep Armed Forces Radio and Television Service Productions going. It's a marvelous act that is done by the military, because it brings a little bit of touch, just a touch of home, to the men that are overseas and they miss their family and their wives and their kids. And there's our chance to play some American music, talk to them in American language, which is hard to get overseas. And it's a thrill, and it's an honor. Lori, it's an honor.
Chuck Anderson, it is always an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much for these vintage radio broadcasts and for your time today. You can go online, sdpb.org/images-of-the-past, and go on the right-hand side there, look for Personalities with Chuck Anderson. You can hear all our conversations from today and more there. Chuck, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Lori. Privilege.